Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. Wonderful to be able to open up God's word for another day. We're going to be turning through to Matthew chapter 19 again, and we're thinking about children today. Matthew chapter 19. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that, Lord, as we turn to it today, that you would bless us with hearts that are ready to receive your teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 19, verse 13 to 15. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. Was Jesus pedocentric? Do you know what pedocentric means? Pedocentric means that everything revolves around the children. It's child-led, child-centered. It's very popular today in parenting philosophies. It's popular in education philosophies. So children are told, or rather I should say, we're told that children are good. We're told that children will learn and discover themselves if we just enable them to do everything. We're told that children are the very, very important people in this world. Meanwhile, our society also says it's okay to abort children. So who knows what they're talking about. But what about Jesus? Where does he stand on this issue? He thinks kids are pretty important, turns out. So how do we understand this passage? We've been thinking previously about kingdom living, and this isn't quite attached to the context, yet it's still very, very relevant. I find it to be a very almost comical in a sad way, comical story. You can imagine Jesus sitting there teaching the people, and families are there. There's people everywhere. There was people always everywhere where Jesus was. And so Jesus is teaching the people, and he's blessing people, and he's healing people. And then the parents start coming. And you know what it's like when you're a parent. You just want your children to be looked after. You want your children to be loved. You want your children to be ministered to. You want someone to take them by the hand and love them. And so they bring their children to Jesus. Why? Well, it tells us the children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. In other words, they want him to bless the children to pray for the children. And so you could imagine this queue of people. And as there's people all around Jesus, these parents are being very rude because Jesus has lots of extremely important things to do. But don't worry, the disciples are there to save the day. The disciples know they have correct priorities in place. And so they yell out very loudly. You can imagine it, can't you? They yell out very loudly, children are to be seen but not heard, would you please remove them so that Jesus can focus upon the important things? And they're intercepting the parents because, you know, Jesus has very important work to do. And so they're stopping them and say, please, whoa, 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 back up. Jesus, he's doing kingdom work. He's saving people. He's got stuff to do. And the parents are, whoa, sorry, look, let me back up. Honey, come here, come pull back. No, don't go talk to Jesus. And as the 12 disciples protect Jesus and defend Jesus so he can focus on the important things, Jesus rebukes them. This is a strong word. Jesus, verse end of 13, the disciples rebuke the people. Sorry, it doesn't say Jesus rebuked them. I'm remembering wrong. It's the disciples doing the rebuking. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And I don't think there would have been a greater word that the parents in that place could have heard than that. Can you imagine, if you're a parent, can you imagine hearing those things, even if you're not a parent, but can you imagine hearing those words? There's the disciples, you can imagine them back to Jesus, stopping the people. No, Jesus hasn't got time for this, it's too important. Back up, back up. And Jesus says, what are you guys doing? Let them come to me. What is wrong with you guys? Let the children come to me. Do not stop the children from coming to me. They belong. The kingdom of God belongs to them. Now, I've got four children, and it is a blessed reality to know that to them belongs the kingdom of heaven. You know, regardless of your perspective on baptism, and I know this passage is used as pedo-baptist. I'm a pedo-baptist, and I know it's used for that. But just set that issue aside. Just completely set that issue aside for a second. Do you know how glorious it is as a parent to know that the kingdom of heaven belongs to you? Not just to you, but to your children. That God cares for your children. That Jesus loved the little children and welcomed them to him and prayed for them and laid his hands upon them. You know, there are some theologies out there that say the only way you can treat a child is as an unbeliever. And I think that's wrong. Look, you may disagree with me, and you're welcome to disagree with me. You're welcome to send me an angry letter if you want. I'm more than happy to have this discussion with you. But I don't know how you can fit verse 13 to 15 into a theology that says children of believers are unbelievers, in the sense that you treat them as complete atheist non-Christians. Now, I know some people will argue, some people will say that the little children here is also the same as the little children that we saw in chapter 18, in the sense of a young believer. And so welcome the small, weak little children to yourself, but it's just not the context. It's parents bringing their little children. And if all Jesus is doing is just giving them a physical blessing, it still reads like Jesus Christ is welcoming little children and saying the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. He's not saying the nation state of Israel and the promises and blessings belong to him, but the kingdom of heaven. The thing he's been proclaiming since the very beginning. The relationship with God within God's kingdom belongs to them. Now, I know there's some stuff to work out with that. I know that my children need to express their own faith. I know that's all there. That's all in the New Testament. We need all of that. But we shouldn't let that cause us to treat our children like rank unbelievers. In other words, do you treat your children as, let me say it a different way, do you assume your child is a believer and therefore exhort them to faithfulness in the covenant and in the kingdom of God? So do you say to your children, you are a part of the kingdom of God, so walk humbly and faithfully before your God? Or do you say, you are an unbeliever, you must repent and be baptized and believe in Jesus? Do you speak to your child the same way you speak to an idolater and an atheist or a person in the middle of the Amazon jungle? Do you speak to your child like you would speak to them? Or do you speak to your child like you'd speak to a young Christian and say, walk humbly before the Lord, walk faithfully? What is part of walking humbly and faithfully before God? It's holding fast to our confession, isn't it? It's putting faith, having faith in the promises of God. So what do I exhort my children to do? I exhort my children to receive the promises of God. Now for me, that's promises that were sealed in baptism. That's promises that are given explicitly in the Word. Promises to repent and turn and be healed and forgiven. Now, and I know they need to make their own profession of faith as they grow and as they mature and as they accept those promises. But my assumption is that they are little children coming to God and receiving and being received by God himself. Now, there is a whole heap of different stuff that fills around that. But I think if there's one thing that could drastically change the way you parent your children to immense results, it would be to understand the biblical teaching that God deals with families and that Jesus loves children and welcomes children. Now, this will affect us on a family level in the sense that if you treat your child like a Christian, not assuming they don't need to believe, because all Christians have to believe, but assuming that they're a part of the kingdom of God, and unless they show otherwise, if they show they're an unbeliever, treat them as an unbeliever. That if they show themselves to be faithful to the covenant, assume that they're faithful to the covenant, assume that they're one of child's gods, teach them that way, treat them that way, assume they're going to go on in the faith, keep exhorting them, keep pushing them, keep helping them to come to Christ. Your children will respond to that. But this also impacts us hugely in the church, doesn't it? How do we receive the little children in the church? Do we just cast them off as a nuisance to the Sunday school program and expect our Sunday school teachers to make sure they keep telling them about the gospel and that the Sunday school teachers continue looking for conversions? No, we should welcome them into the church as believers, treat them that way. Now, whether you do baptism or not, I don't care, just set that aside. But do you welcome them into the church as a part of the family of Christ, a part of the family of God and the people of God, and lovingly welcome them so that they feel like a part of the church? Now, for us, that gets expressed by them being in church with us. And they're part of the worship service. And they're included. And we address them specifically. When I preach, I'll often address the children. Especially in the evening, we get a whole bunch of kids that come in the evening. I say, so kids, this means, because I'm assuming that they're part of the family of God and they're there to learn. And so did Paul, by the way. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in Ephesians, what does Paul say? He says, masters, treat your servants well. And before that, he says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. And children, obey your fathers and mothers. Now, He didn't say that for the parents to tell their children after Sunday school, did he? No. He said it to the children in the church service. Because Paul assumes the children are acting as children of the kingdom of God. He doesn't say, children, make sure you repent and become Christians. He says, children, walk in faithfulness with your parents as believers. Just like the children did in the Old Testament. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this teaching and we ask that you would bless it to us. Help us to walk humbly before you in faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to spur our children on. Help us to have a great love for the children like Jesus did. In whose name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me for another daily devotion. See you tomorrow afternoon. Have a great night.